Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
All right, Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. How you doing, Stone?
I'm doing well, man. I'm still kind of jazzed coming off of yesterday afternoon. We went down to a Metro Atlanta Chamber and met in that round room.
Yep.
Visited with all the folks at Startup Atlanta. That's going to be fun to be hanging out with those folks.
That's right. We announced our kind of partnership with them. We are, I don't know if we're the only, but we're one of the main media outlets for the Startup Atlanta movement here in town, and we're trying to bring more attention to the startup community here in town. And so all a bunch of groups from all disparate startup-oriented groups got together and have evolved into Startup Atlanta.
Well, what was amazing to me, a little bit surprising, toward the end of the meeting, we went around the Oval, and there must have been six or eight distinct events, Startup Riot, Startup Lounge, just a
right,
adventure.
Right, the ATDC was there.
Right.
Hippopotamus was there.
Right. That's just there's a lot going on in this community, and I'm looking forward to us being a part of it. And I think we're actually going to have a show, right, like Startup Atlanta.
That's it. Absolutely. Where we're going to get the word out about it, all the good things that are happening in the startup community here in town.
But there's a lot of good things happening in the studio this morning.
Absolutely.
Now, this is going to be a fun show. We've got a pretty full studio. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Matt Friedman with Wing Zone. We're also going to have Larry Myricks back.
Good.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. He's with Georgia Corporate Challenge, and he has Brad Van Buskirk with him. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce East Coast Director for ShareThrough, Mr. Dave Ford. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm doing well, man. So good to have you. So give us a little bit of an overview, thumbnail sketch, if you will, of ShareThrough. Mission, purpose, what are you guys out there trying to do for folks?
So maybe the best way to sort of give it, there's a pretty interesting story around ShareThrough. We were started out of Stanford in 2008. I mean, just traditional startup, you know, our founders had an idea about how to get videos seen and shared back then. So like really good branded video. So if you think of like your like 2-minute Jennifer Aniston smart water videos or really good Super Bowl commercials or just basically content that brands are making. And we sort of started out in the video seating space, you know, back in 2008, and really things just really developed over the course of
So you were actually creating the videos?
We were distributing them, yeah. So we like do a lot of consulting. We'd work with big brands and agencies to consult on the videos. But really kind of as things have grown and morphed, the company I was actually hired, I was like the 25th employee total and the second employee in New York like 2.5 years ago. Now we're like 100 people. We have offices in New York, and we just, you know, we have people in Atlanta. We have people in a big office in Chicago, you know, and like really grown across the country. So it's been pretty exciting, pretty rapid growth. And the reason being is just that there's such a demand for the type of service that we have because brands are making content, you know. Now we're not only just distributing video, but really all kinds of content. Mm-hmm. So whether it's like a sponsored article or a sponsored post, or it could be like a Vine that that a brand's make a little 6-second snippet that they want to get out there. So just any kind of content we can distribute.
So now the client or the advertiser creates some content, and then you come in to take that content and then distribute it out to the planet
in a
strategic manner?
Yeah, we work with different publishers. So, you know, we were, you know, like the People and Forbes of the world, you know, basically through mobile or desktop, we can take those videos and basically put those specific pieces of content along other pieces, you know, next to other pieces of content.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and it's been pretty wild ride.
Now, do you consult and help them create content that's valuable, or is it kind of they do the content and you do the distribution?
We do the distribution. We can start. We do go in and we meet with brands and agencies and just kind of give them, you know, direction of
like best practices.
Best practices of what works.
Like what's something that works and what's something that doesn't work.
You know, I think in general, like on the video front, like, you know, good brand. I mean, you think of like the Old Spice guy. That would be like a perfect example. Or the World's Most Interesting Man.
Right.
You know, those are like premier. I mean, everybody, really great.
That's
pieces
like gold standard.
I thought that was Larry.
But we're starting to see brands make like infographics, you know, like Pop Secret did this amazing infographic. They're distributing, you know, that kind of content. Or like Mini did like a, they partnered with Slate Magazine to do this hipster roadmap, which was basically like a sponsored post that was just basically giving interesting things for their
And then they integrate their brand within the content in an elegant manner, not an intrusive old school kind of, you know, like, you know, we're breaking for commercial and they're yelling at you for 30 seconds.
Exactly, and that's the idea. So when we're talking about native advertising, the summit that we're doing, it's more like think about advertising that doesn't make you want to throw your computer out the window, right?
Right.
Like when you're trying to watch something on CNN and you have to sit through a 30-second pre-roll to get in, you literally want to throw your computer out the window.
Right, that's when you go, I'm going to get more coffee, and you get up and you know that it's going to keep...
Exactly, or on your mobile phone, if you accidentally click on one of those the banners ads, at the bottom, then you want to throw your phone out the window. And pretty soon you don't have, you know, it's going to cost you a lot of money. So really the idea of what we're doing is it's all choice-based, you know? So it might be like on your phone, the integration for the Old Spice guy might be come in basically as a part of the news feed on your phone. But it's not anything that you are going to be blocked with or roadblocked or like things that are going to be obtrusive that you don't want to experience. You have to actually choose to click on it.
Right.
And the idea is that everything, like I said, is like integrated into the framework of the way the sites actually work. Well, it's pretty interesting, too, because if you think about there's like trends on the web on desktop right now where it's – you have like gallery sort of like Pinterest-esque.
Right, where it's like one long web page, right?
Yeah, where there's like just pictures kind of side by side to each other. So we would basically take one of those picture units, you know, not like your normal box or banner that are like on the top of the web page. We take one of those picture units and fill that in with like your Jennifer Aniston Smart Water video.
Right, it's just one of the choices that they have.
Or then there's this other trend where everything's going to like a news feed where it's kind of like story on top of a story on top of a story, and we kind of like scan the headlines or whatever. So we would basically take a branded piece of content, you know, take your, you know, something that Vitamin Water was doing or whatever, and put that in the same feed on a sports, you know, blog or a sports.
But then you can in BuzzFeed does that a lot where they'll take a client and then they'll make a list about the clients, or it'll be sponsored by the client, the advertiser, but it fits organically in the BuzzFeed ecosystem.
Exactly. And BuzzFeed is a great example of, you know, they've really been huge and, you know, really with us and kind of just like spearheading this like native advertising movie. They're speeding it. They're going to be speaking.
So they're a client of yours?
They're a partner. They're going to be speaking at the Native Advertising Summit as well, you know, so that they do their own thing. You know, they have their – they create these branded sponsored posts for brands, you know, and what we'll do is distribute them, right? So I shouldn't probably say that they're a partner. They have like their own like ecosystem, but like we, you know, basically they're the type of things that they're creating, we can take and distribute through our
easily, right?
Posts.
Because it's a kind of similar philosophy as yours.
Right. Exact, completely. Yeah. They're definitely we're basically preaching the same sermon for sure.
So how big is this market? It's got to be a multiple of the old TV radio market, right? This market for native advertising must be huge.
Well, I think it's getting bigger and bigger. I mean, so Facebook and Twitter are perfectly good examples of native advertising. You think about Facebook, like they're like the atomic unit of their site, right, is the post.
Right.
So like the native advertising unit would be a sponsored post.
Sure.
With Twitter, they have a tweet, so the promoted tweet – it just shows up in the stream just like the rest of the tweets would be the, you know, so that's really like when we're talking about native advertising. And then Yahoo just bought Tumblr.
Right.
You know, so Yahoo's really taken a huge step into the native advertising space as well. So, I mean, in the trades, in the industry trades, I mean, it's been huge because it really is a different way. When we're just looking at kind of traditional digital advertising plays, just like regular display, people aren't clicking on those banner ads. And if they do, sometimes it's by accident. You know, it's not, people aren't like searching out ads on the side of page.
Right. They're not happy to do it. Where in a native environment, you are happy to do it. You're choosing this intentionally.
Yeah, exactly. And if you don't want to click on it, you don't have to click
exactly.
on it. Right. Yeah. So we're seeing huge click rates. Right.
Now, but do you have to kind of re-educate the client in that the click rate, it may be huge, but it's much less than they would get in a mass advertising, like an old cost per thousand model.
Well, the click rates are actually a lot higher than that, you know? Like, so, like, would, like, the...
But my point is that the person who clicks has more value because they're doing it intentionally, not accidentally. We're in kind of the older model. They were just trying to get impressions in large numbers, you know, eyeballs, kind of general. Where now you're saying these clicks are more valuable because they're purposely doing this. It's not an accident, or it's not just on a page with lots of other stuff.
You know, we're actually seeing that people, their, like, we've done some eye tracking studies. Mm-hmm. We did like this big study with IPG Media Labs up in New York, where people's actual eyes stay with these placements. I don't know. Don't ask me how they did it, because I could not tell you. Couldn't even begin to imagine. But people, you know, your eyes stay on that part of the page. You know, they're just not. We're basically trained. Have like there's banner blindness when they with these banners, you just don't look at them. You know. So the idea that these are like integrated in the flow of the field of sight, you know, it's been pretty exciting, and it really is a huge movement with brands and advertisers these days, because they need to just think about like TV. You know, people DVR through commercials. It's just so much harder to reach the end consumer now than it was 10 years ago. It's really hard. I mean, people think about the kind of money that's being spent, you know, on a madman advertisement, right? Like, and literally people are DVRing and then they just fast forward through the commercials. If they let the commercials play, there's a good chance of probably going to the bathroom.
Right. And like the Super Bowl is the only place where people pay attention to the ads.
Live sports is like the one.
Right. They got you trapped, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So tell us about this summit.
So the summit, we did the first summit in February up in New York. So it's a native advertising summit, you know, and this is something that ShareThrough's spearhead. It's really the conversation. So it's an intimate event. It's not like we're kind of thing where we're just trying to get, you know, as many people in the door as possible. But we're going to be doing it at the Atlanta Midtown on June 27th. And it runs from, it's like a little bit more than a half day, like 11:30 to 6. The W Hotel Midtown, it's a Thursday afternoon, and we have some really great speakers coming out. We threw this out to a lot of really kind of big names in the industry, like really amazing thought leaders in the space, and almost everybody said yes. So that's always
that's encouraging,
a good thing. Yeah.
Right?
So we have, representatives from Coca-Cola, from Porsche, from Turner, we have Daryl Evans, who's really, you know, a big name at AT&T, who really kind of drives a lot of their strategy. Mm-hmm. Is going to be giving our keynote. We have from platforms, we have representatives from Facebook and Twitter and Yahoo, from some of the bigger publishers, from Gawker, from Forbes, from BuzzFeed. Again, we have Porsche and Coca-Cola are speaking, from some of the big Atlanta agencies, 22 Squared, Fitzgerald and Company, Mindshare, Moxie. I mean, so like we just have this really unbelievable, you know, group of, you know, influencers and thinkers in the room that are really, really having a conversation, you know. And obviously, like, we have, you know, ShareThrough, our CEO, Dan Greenberg, kind of is running the whole the platform. But it's a conversation about what this is, because there's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of different opinions on kind of what native advertising is, you know, even within, you know, between the different platforms.
Because it's like, still the Wild West, right? Everybody's trying to figure this out.
Everybody's trying to figure it out. I would say, like, we're getting closer and closer. We're actually co-chairing with Yahoo. ShareThrough's co-chairing the IAB Committee on Native Advertising to try to really standardize the space in the same way that they've standardized pre-roll and regular display and everything. And I think, you know, as that conversation continues, it's going to become a lot less Wild Westy. But it is significant, you know, it's exciting too. It's just think about brands are making really great content, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, just the same way Hollywood makes really great content, you know, and a lot of times that can blend, you know, if you think about like some stuff that Funny or Die or any of these, you know, there's a lot of celebrity talent that are working for brands now making really great stuff.
Now, I noticed that Google wasn't there. Is that on purpose, or how is Google playing into all this?
Well, it's not on purpose. I think Google may be there. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think they're not on the speaking panel. But I think
because they don't have a native advertising model, right?
Well, there's been stuff in the news where they're kind of
playing around with it.
Well, you think YouTube definitely does some native integration. So I'm talking about the pre-roll on YouTube, which isn't native at all. But like on this, you know, your promoted videos. If you do a search for Business Radio X, you probably have something pop in the top. You know, some sort of related thing in the actual YouTube stream or on the side, they'll be promoted.
But it's
videos.
A little disruptive to their model of the pay-per-click and the sidebar and the sponsored links, don't you think?
I think they're trying to figure it out. You know, they're trying to figure out the space. You know, there's been some Google in the press. They're definitely keeping a very close eye on
it. Yeah, I'm sure they are.
And believe me, they'll definitely
flip the switch, you got to pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. They definitely know what they're doing over there, for sure.
So let's walk this through. We're going to visit again with Larry Marix, who has been in here and talked about the corporate challenge. But let's say he wants to take advantage of native advertising. So he's got to get a handle on where these people hang out that he wants to communicate with. Walk us through an engagement with someone like a Larry. What happens first? And just walk us through
that
process.
Right, like you're a brand and you have some content. And then you call share through, what happens?
Yeah, so let's say Larry shot some content of the corporate challenge, and he's had some really great like minute video that kind of breaks down what right. you know what they do in a fun way. It's something that people want to watch. Really, that's really the thing. It's like you don't want to do like your Chuck Norris trying to sell you
right.
exercise equipment on
right.
a Saturday afternoon.
It's not a pitch.
You don't want like 0% financing car ads, right? But something that's good, something that shows that communicates what you do in a fun way that people would maybe want to share with their friends so they could participate, right? So you'd call us, and then we'd basically put a proposal together for you to show you kind of like how many impressions or how many views that you would get as a part of this engagement. Same way you would do like if you reach out to a radio station or you reach out to a television station. We're going to show you what kind of reach and frequency you're going to get with your ad, and kind of where and then also where it's going to be on what different publishers that we work with. Mm-hmm. Where it would be, so maybe it would be on Business Insider, or maybe it would be on Forbes, or it all depends on what your objectives are. Imagine corporate challenge, we probably want to be targeting a
right.
business audience.
Businesses, yeah. Safe bet.
And then we run the campaign and be able to give you metrics on how long people have been spending time with your video, like what the view lengths are, how many people are sharing your video, basically measuring the sharing intent of like how many people are trying to tweet this out or share it on Facebook, or we can push it to Pinterest. So we can push it to all the different social channels. And then, basically you'd be able to see, what kind of, how it's been performing in real time. You can just like log into a little dashboard that shows you.
Nice. So you work with publishers and advertisers. What are the other groups you work with?
I would say we work with publishers and advertisers are kind of like we're a platform that sort of powers.
But you matchmake, like you're kind of using both of them, right? Like they come to you and you
advertisers,
kind of
yeah,
put them all together.
Exactly. Advertisers will come to us, and then we'll figure out which of the best publishers that we work with mm-hmm. can help facilitate, this whatever sort of
so
advertising
is looking for lots of publishers to give choices to the advertisers to be, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So part of our team's out there looking for new publishers every day, and talking to a lot of the big media companies.
So you're
out
looking
there.
For content providers.
Right. And then we're also looking for advertisers. We also work with, we've probably done 1,200 campaigns in the last.
So now the benefit of using you rather than calling each of these individual publishers is it's kind of one stop shop. You're a turnkey. I can just contact you and you already have a relationship with tons of publishers.
Yeah, I mean that's in essence, that's kind of how the platform works. It's just a way to take native advertising where like in Twitter and Facebook, you'd just be dealing with Twitter and Facebook kind of mm-hmm. inside of their like walled gardens.
Right.
And we're really like we're able to do the same thing to take that like sponsored stories and put it out there throughout the rest of the web.
Well, if I'm an agency, I think, and I'm trying to go to market as an agency, I want to have a really strong relationship with you guys because I'm going to frame that as a distinct competitive advantage and for my client. Because, these guys are going to make me look like a hero because we're going to create this great video for you, but we're also going to get it distributed properly to exactly the kind of people you need and want to see and hear it. But enough about Larry. Let's talk about me for a minute. We have this show we're going to get off the ground, this Startup Atlanta show. We know exactly who we want to go after. We don't, but we will after we talk a little while. But let's say we want to reach the venture capital community, the angel community, the startup community. If we come to you with a niche or niches, you guys have some expertise about where they hang out and how to talk to them?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Yeah, we'd be able to break down. I mean, we work with hundreds of publishers. We'd be able to mm-hmm. break down, what we would think would be the best, the best fit inside our publisher network. That could be like tech influencer sites and kind of
right.
business sites along those lines. And then we'd present to you, that as a part of an overarching media plan, and you'd be like,
but and the reverse would be so too, because we create a lot of content. We could be one of your publishers, right? And then you can have clients that put stuff on our platform.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So like Atlanta specifically.
Right. Say you will have people that want to reach Atlanta startup community,
right,
and we have a show called Startup Atlanta.
Exactly. That's exactly right. The way it works. So yeah, so we, like I said, we, you know.
So you work both sides of the street.
Exactly.
It's like an arms dealer.
It's exactly what
it's like. That's your mission statement.
Your PR people are going to call me and say, is there any way to edit that one out?
I was just kidding. We're not going to
So now, you have the event. Is it sold out? Like, can people go? Like, how is it a private event?
No, there's still tickets available. We started out with like a kind of a $200 early bird ticket. They're sold out. Tickets are they're moving pretty quickly. So we're in a really good place. But you can still come. We'd love to have you join
attend?
The come.
Who should be the if what companies or what businesses should be there in your mind?
I think brands. Absolutely, and I think we're going to have a huge representatives from you know a lot of the really big great Atlanta brands, the Home Depots, the Coxes, the Coca-Colas, all those guys are going to be there. We're also you know the platform side, so we'll you know the Facebooks and the Twitters, like they'll definitely be there, and publishers and advertising agencies for sure. So really anybody that's in the advertising that where this would make sense, you know. So if you have a business. And you're trying to understand the best way to reach your client, and you're looking at new ways to do it. You know, this is definitely the kind of conversation that could really help you sort of figure out your marketing strategy on online. And but yeah, I would say those are kind of like the groups that
so like every advertising agency, that's a no-brainer. PR firms, right? Marketing firms,
PR firms. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Now. At the event, is it just strictly education? You just sit there and everybody's taking notes, or was there other elements to
What's
it?
What's the food like? That's what
that's
he
really
asked.
Food and the coffee.
Food
coffee
is
going to
be
food.
Good. The coffee is going to be excellent. No, yeah, we're going to have the best coffee in Atlanta, I've heard.
Good.
Don't quote me on that. But it's going to be – there's going to be different panels over different conversations.
Are they going on at the same time, or is it like –
No, this is just like
one at a time.
One room. Yeah, again, we really go for intimate with this thing. In New York, it was the same way, and it was a really beautiful day. That entire day was awesome. But the idea, yeah, we're not trying to do 1,000 people here. Really, we want everybody to feel like they're a part of the conversation. You know, so we're doing, you know, I think we have like 7 or 8 panels. We have a few fireside chats where, you know, we're interviewing, you know, executives and then a couple keynotes. Blink Media is our sponsor, Atlanta-based. Those guys are awesome.
Sure.
So we're super pumped to have them on board. And they're certainly a part of this whole conversation with all the, you know.
Is there an opportunity for the attendees to interact with the speakers and panelists?
Absolutely. We'll do question and answer at the end of every panel, you know. And, yeah, the idea is that the idea is, you know, at the end of the day, you're gonna have a much better sense of what's going on. But it's also, again, like this conversation between the panelists where everybody's really figuring this thing out,
right.
You know, and really kind of guiding this conversation, you know, which is why this is so exciting. Because really, we truly believe that this is the future, you know, that we're in this like unique place in time. Like, I would say, you know, and it's interesting too, like with mobile, because like the mobile integrations for this, you know, are really, really new. And I feel like it's really akin to like in 2008 when like YouTube stopped buffering. All of a sudden, this huge ecosystem around web video popped up. Now we're in the position now where we can watch video on mobile and like really watch it with all the new iPhones and the new Androids and everything. It's not the situation. You can drive around in a cab or drive around in the backseat of your car and watch, you know, in most, you know, major cities and everything and watch video and watch branded content, you know, which is exciting. So, in general, we just feel like it's the right place and the right time for this conversation. And the native advertising is going to be, you know, something that we're going to be talking about forever.
Right. There's
going
to be more of it, not less of it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, if somebody wanted to learn more about the summit, is there a website?
Yeah. The website is – I'm pulling it up on my phone. It's summit.nativeadvertising.com. And I mean, you could just type in, you know, Native Advertising Summit Atlanta into Google and it'll pop right away. And you can buy tickets right from there.
And then if somebody wants to learn more about ShareThrough?
You can go to ShareThrough.com.
And then a potential client for you is the same people that would be the attending the summit?
Yeah, absolutely.
So advertising, every marketing advertising agency should know ShareThrough?
We certainly believe so. Yeah, if they don't.
So you get a lot of your business through marketing and advertising agencies.
Yeah, most of our business are with, you know, brands and advertising.
Right, but
agencies.
Does the brand go directly to you, or do they go through an agency? An agency then works with you.
I'd say like, you know, 80% of the time they go through agencies, but we definitely do work brand
directly.
Yeah, with some specific clients. Yeah.
Good stuff.
It's an exciting new world.
I know.
This is fantastic. And, I mean, everything you said is so true. We have the DVR, and we just go race straight through the commercials unless we want to get up and grab a sandwich or something, and then we just let them play while we're making our sandwich. But, I mean, native advertising, that's the only practical way to reach people anymore, I think. This is fantastic.
Yeah, don't you think everybody's getting tired of being interrupted and just pitched, just that hard sell pitch is just –
Yeah, absolutely.
Nobody hears it and sees it anymore.
That's what we say every day, you know. And I mean, it's interesting because the people that we work with, they know it too. The people that buy the
right, they hate it too.
You know, but the interruption does work. You do get that, but not ad in front of you. But it's how it happens,
right?
You know?
And it's not positive. You're not happy. Oh, great! I'm being interrupted.
We've done all these studies too. That like, if the Old Spice guy shows up, in a pre-roll, you don't like the Old Spice guy as much. If you're trying to watch, something else.
Right.
If you're trying to watch news about the tornadoes in Oklahoma, and you have to sit through an Old Spice. You're like Old Spice guy,
enough.
But if he's sitting at the bottom of the page or in the feed, and you get to choose to interact with them, it's a completely different experience, and people love that character. So, anyway.
Well, I am so glad that you were willing to come down and visit with us this morning. This has been a lot of fun, man. Thanks for coming.
Hey, you guys, thanks so much. I really, really appreciate it, and hope you guys can come out too. We'll make sure to get you guys a couple tickets.
Cool. Well, thank you. I think we would thoroughly enjoy that. Hey, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
All right, you got it.
All right, so I have some native advertising because the people are already listening, right?
Yeah.
And so it makes perfect sense. It's organic. Please join me in welcoming to the show with Wing Zone, Mr. Matt Friedman. How you doing, man?
I am doing wonderful. Glad to be here.
So what'd you learn in that last segment?
I knew nothing about it, so that was very educational. I'm actually interested in our brand because we're a franchise brand and trying to recruit, current restaurant operators to our brand to grow not only in Atlanta but other markets, and there could be some synergies there.
So that made sense to you, huh?
Made a lot of sense, especially if you can create something that's really cool and unique. And I think the comical factor is good too. We have fun in our restaurants, and the brand's really a unique brand because it was created 20 years ago in a fraternity house kitchen. And by myself and my partner, and we still don't take ourselves very seriously. So it's funny that we can do some crazy stuff and make it viral.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And you're welcome, Dave. There's your new client. You see what happens here in the studio?
That's where the magic happens.
See, the whole Larry Myers thing, that was just like a head fake. I was helping you land the Wing Zone. So Wing Zone, give us a little more backstory on Wing Zone. Get us caught up.
I will be happy to. We celebrate our 20-year anniversary this fall. I know the radio listeners can't see how young I look, but I did start this business 20 years ago. We are Atlanta-based. We operate right at about 100 locations throughout the country. We are global right now in about 6 international countries, but our main focus is growing in the Atlanta market. We currently have 4 stores here. We were originally really keeping it as a corporate market. We were going to grow it that way. And really due to just growing in a lot of different areas and our franchising program in general taking off, now we're really focusing on growing the Atlanta market via some quality operators and franchisees. Wing Zone's a fast, casual, quick service restaurant concept. Typically, we're 1,500 square feet. We probably have seating for 30 to 40. Probably our unique selling proposition or what we're great at is we have 17 unique and amazing flavors. They're all branded and kind of unique in their own way. So we're not just about wings. We do some amazing chicken tenders. We do wraps, salads, awesome burgers. But the flavors are really what makes it so unique. We call our cooking process flavor fusing. So you can get anything on our menu flavored. Everything from
the celery
burger.
Can I get the celery flavor?
If you really wanted the celery flavored, we'd do it for you. So I think it's, obviously our name's Wing Zone and people know we have wings, but we're more than that. And our whole brand is about flavor. So a couple cool things we have coming out this summer. We introduced 3 new flavors August 1st, and this is throughout our entire franchise system. And we've had some fun with it. We did a flavor contest via Facebook where All of our 20-plus thousand followers submitted kind of their favorite flavor or a recipe.
Interesting.
And the winner was Mango Fire. And what we did from that perspective was then really went, worked on the recipe, tweaked it, tested it in some markets. So that's one of the one that introduces, which is a fantastic flavor. It's kind of obviously sweet, and it'll kind of kick you in the butt a little bit with a little heat factor there. We also are introducing one called Cinnamon Maple. It's kind of that chicken and waffles type of flavor. It's really good. It's obviously you need to like sweet stuff. And then bacon is hot right now, so we are doing a bacon nirvana, which is kind of giving you all those great flavors all wrapped up in something that's really potent. So we have fun with it, but we're a franchise company based here in Atlanta. We love being here in Atlanta. We have 14 people in our corporate office.
So you're the franchisor.
We are the franchisor.
Well, can you talk a little bit about what it was like when you first started out and you decided to franchise?
Did you
have one store at the time, or you had a couple?
Absolutely. We started in 1993. From 1993 to 1999, we opened 7 company-owned stores.
So you were here in town, and your intention was, let's try this, right? You decided to open a store, and you got some traction. You started opening up multiple stores.
Correct. We actually started in Gainesville, Florida. So we moved to Atlanta in 2001. But, we were a small independent restaurant company owned by 2 young guys, still my partner today, Adam Scott, and just operated those and really did a great job as kind of a regional homegrown brand in the Florida market. And some of the key reasons that came to franchising was we had a lot of people coming to us that were like, hey, I really love your product. I love your concept. How do I get involved in it? And so we looked at it as a great growth and business opportunity to kind of grow the brand. You know, you have decisions to grow corporately. You know, we could have opened 1 or 2 stores a year, and 20 years later you could have, 30, 40, 50 stores. Franchising does give you the ability to grow, obviously, a lot faster, a lot stronger, and really kind of creates a stronger presence from that perspective.
But it's like highly regulated, though, right? There's a lot of rules.
There's a lot of rules, but I think it's there for the right reasons to protect, both sides, the franchisor and the franchisee. I think a couple things to mention to some of the listeners is, what makes a quality franchise opportunity. And with WingZone, for us, we believe in simplicity, and that was important, meaning that, it doesn't take necessarily an overly experienced restaurateur to successfully open and run a WingZone. Typically, we employ anywhere between 10 and 12 people. On a given day, there's 3 to 5 people working in the store. It's fast casual, so it's order at the counter. We do bring it to someone's table, and they kind of eat it there and then bus it themselves. So it's not a full-service restaurant concept. The other thing is our investment level is very reasonable considering what it costs to get into some full-service, freestanding restaurants right now. To open a WingZone, typically we go into strip centers or shopping centers like Publix, Kroger, that sort of thing. Most franchisees are going to get their doors open for about $250,000. With some financing options, they typically will put in about $75,000 to $100,000 in liquid and then borrow about $175,000 in that range. So,
Don't have to have restaurant experience.
Well, we obviously prefer it.
You prefer somebody who's been around a restaurant.
We do. In fact, if we look at what we've done over the last 3 years, our marketing efforts from a franchise perspective have been going after existing restaurant franchisees in brands that are limited in how they can grow. So if you take brands, let's say like Subway or Dunkin' Donuts or other things like that, there's a lot of times there's capacity in a market, so it's difficult for them to grow. So what a lot of restaurant franchisees have done is started to expand their portfolio, so to speak, so they've gotten involved in other brands. It's been a great fit for us. We've signed large multi-unit deals in Chicago, in St. Louis, in the New York, New Jersey area with existing restaurant operators that some of these guys own 10 to 15 units of other brands.
Oh, and then they just tack yours along with
it? If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. If you can run a Subway, you can run a Wingzone.
That's right.
Right?
So, but, you know, if someone's really a self-starter, I mean, personality's big for us. I mean, you got to love the brand.
And wings are fun. I mean, it's like whenever you're having wings, you're doing something fun.
I believe so. I mean, our busy times of the year are, you know, big sporting events and parties. And,
so is there a catering like element, like people take it to go and things like that?
Yeah, we launched a catering program actually just in the last couple months, and it's been a big help. So we actually do a full-service catering program. We can do anywhere from 10 people all the way to 1,000, and it's a set-and-go type thing, so we set it all up.
I bet really the swim teams are hitting you right now. I just went to a swim meet. My kid is coaching a swim team.
Right.
And after that, they all want to go to something.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you're anywhere near a neighborhood pool with all these swim teams, I bet they hit you, right?
We love the set-and-go thing, so we bring it to you, kind of provide everything you would need, and it's a reasonable cost. We do it kind of per person from that perspective. It probably ranges anywhere from $7 to $10 a person for us to come and do it. So, but it's not just wings, like I said. I mean, we do, wraps, and we can do some salads and other things. But
Can you get a beer?
Some of our stores do serve, some don't. It just depends on the municipalities and that sort of thing. It's not a core focus of ours. Our environment is family friendly. It's a quick in and out. It's not a sports bar, and that's not what we're trying to be. We do have some TVs, and people can sit there and have a great meal. But an interesting statistic or point about Wing Zone is we're about 70% to go. So 70% of our product is really in a takeout environment. People are bringing it to work or to home or to a party. So although we have dine-in and it's a part of it, it's not the key driving force. So I know that there's some, you know, big box wing concepts out there.
Right.
We'd love to put stores, you know, right near them because we really want to own that takeout market.
Now, you have 100 stores. Right now, I'm sure you're looking to expand beyond that. Do you do national advertising, or are you advertising each market? How do you get the word out?
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, the way you look at it is, we're spread out over 17 states. So a lot of it is we've gone after major college markets, and that forced us to kind of grow, kind of a little bit broader than we wanted to. So most of the marketing is done at the local level. Mm-hmm. Wing Zone does charge an advertising fee. It's 2% of sales that's paid to a kind of a fund, and then we disperse it by market. But a lot of it really is handled from a local store marketing environment. When we're looking at franchise candidates, they really have to embrace that, get involved in schools,
go in the community and really become part of the community.
You have to. You have to own that 3 to 5 mile radius around your store. And I think a lot of it is, I know it's people talk about a lot, getting involved in your chamber of commerce or getting involved in schools and local organizations. But it is truly the difference between being an average Wing Zone location and one that excels.
Now, let me rope Dave back in here. Dave, in a situation like him where he's in 17 markets, your service can help him, right? Because the internet is hyper-local. You can kind of drill down to
local. Yeah, you can geo-target.
Right,
you
know, so he can create something from a corporate national and then geo-target down to those 17 markets, right?
Yeah, those markets. We can do like DMA targeting depending on where. I mean, so if it's like a very obscure college town, that might be a little tougher. But if it's like a part of a major market, we can get in.
That's an instance where it would have the perception of national advertising, but it would be hyper-local, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's really the direction we're going. You know, we still do a lot of print, but print, unfortunately, is dying. I mean, it's getting costly and has been. And, you know, our target customer is a younger demographic. So going after them, we just launched our app actually like in the last week. App was launched for both Android and Apple, and we're thrilled with it. So because we have an online ordering component, so people can order from their phone, which is cool, and then pick it up. And then there's also a loyalty program built in. So as they order, they get points and get free product and free swag and stuff like that. So we understand that the consumer is really going that way. The app was a big launch for us.
Look, you had me at bacon. All this other stuff is, you know, I mean, it's nice, but you had me at bacon. No, it seems like such a fun brand. Right. So how can we help? What do you need more of? You want to get out there and meet more potential franchisees?
Absolutely. To be point blank, I mean, we are Atlanta-based. We love being here. This is where we're going to be for the long term. But with four locations here, you know, it's not enough for us.
How many do you want?
I think in the Atlanta market, our ideal situation is to have 30 to 35 stores. I think at that level, we become one of the dominant wing brands here. There's really no one right now that dominates the wing market here. If I asked people who's the biggest wing guy in Atlanta, you probably will get five or six different answers. But it is a wing town. But that's a great thing from a franchise investment or opportunity side. There's not really someone that's the one that's really dominating it from that perspective. So, yeah, we're looking for existing restaurant operators that want to expand into a really hot concept or people that are just self-starters that really want to own their own business. It's an owner-operator model. You're going to work this thing. You're going to work your tail off. You're going to, you know, it's not an easy thing, and we don't sell it that way. But I'll tell you, it's a ton of fun. And you operate these stores properly, and they can be incredibly profitable. It's our goal over the course of the next several years to really build our base in Atlanta. And, you know, we've got a great website that explains everything. It's wingzone.com. You really can get a good sense of what the brand is. There's a lot of video on there about what the restaurants look like, what the focus is. I like to say that I'm the giant John Snyder of Papa John, so I'm on there kind of pitching the brand and that sort of thing. So that's it.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for coming down and visiting with us, man. And I really think where you want to focus your area, energy immediately would be zip code 30062.
Okay.
We actually have a great little bar right down the street, and they do a great job with wings. But there's also times when it's my night to cook, and I don't want to go there, sit down, watch the game, have a two or three drinks and wings.
Sure.
I just want to slide in, grab some wings, go to the house.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, the good thing about Atlanta is there's a lot of opportunities here. There's a lot of territory and ability for people to grow. So
30062.
Okay.
All right. And that's wingzone.com.
Yes, it is.
Hey, how about hanging with us while we visit with our next guest?
Love to.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone. We have Larry Myricks back, and he's brought someone with him. But first, let's catch up with Larry on this corporate challenge. How you been, man?
Exhausted. We've gone through almost a month now. We've completed 20 of our 23 tournaments, and our last three are on Saturday, but it's been a phenomenal ride once again, and we're just having a good time. Company's having a great time.
So where are you in the process? This goes on for several weeks, months, and then walk us through that.
Yeah, we started on May 4th. Actually, we got rained out the first couple, but May 4th was our first scheduled event. And over 5 weeks from May 4th through June 8th, we had the 23 tournaments set up. So we finished up dodgeball last night over in Marietta. And so we'll be out in Lithonia on Saturday for our last three, which is our 5K, our executive relay, and our tug-of-war tournament. So,
yeah, why don't you recap what the mission and purpose of the corporate challenge is?
Okay, well, the corporate challenge is something I came up with a couple years ago, and we did our first one last year. 2012 was the inaugural challenge. And for me, it was just creating an opportunity for companies to get together and do some team building, have some fun, you know, get involved in some fitness, you know, to promote and increase employee morale and camaraderie and just do it all through the fun of sports, friendly competition. And so we just came up with a nice mix of events so we could get the weekend warriors to come out and do the soccer and the tough stuff. And if you want to be somebody who wants to participate but not get sweaty, then you play poker, you know, dominoes, spades, and just kind of take it easy, but you're still involved.
And you have an athletic background to remind our listeners, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been involved in athletics all my life. I'm a four-time Olympian, I've been on every major track and field team. I've got gold, silver, bronze medals from all the major events. I've got a bronze from the Games in Seoul, Korea. I was a long jumper, and I think, unless something's changed, I think right now I'm still sitting at about number four, the fourth farthest jump in history in the long jump.
Wow.
You still long jump now?
Not exactly. My wife has me jumping around right now, though.
Different kind of jumping.
So what kind of companies? Are we talking about large companies, or is it typically smaller and mid-sized companies that participate in this, or you get them from all levels?
All sizes, actually. Stars and Stripes is probably the largest we have, and the smallest, I believe, is CTS. They only have – they're about 30 employees.
Why don't you introduce Brad?
Who do you have with you here?
Have Brad Van Buskirk, and Brad's one of the regional managers with Stars and Stripes, and they came on last year and stepped up and became a sponsor for our bowling tournament, and they're a great bunch of folks, and we enjoy having them around.
Well, thank you, Larry.
Well, welcome to the show, man. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about Stars and Stripes.
All right, we're a one-stop destination for Atlanta to come have fun. We offer bowling. We've got a sports bar. We've got two full bars. We've got a mega arcade, laser tag, bumper cars. Some of our facilities have laser maze, Belladium. We've got event rooms, party rooms for any type of party, whether it's a birthday party, a corporate event, a meeting. We just added a large venue near our Lawrenceville store that we offer weddings, rehearsals, things like that. So we can do an event for anywhere from 10 people all the way to 1,000 in our facilities.
This is a banner day for me, bacon and bumper cars.
It
just doesn't
things.
Get any better than that. So what compelled you guys to get involved with Larry and his outfit?
He popped up on us, and it seems really exciting for us to be able to get our stores together. Our stores are a little bit, they're not easy to get back and forth from each other. So a lot of our younger people don't have the ability to meet people from the other stores. So we jumped on this, and it's a great team-building opportunity for us to get our employees to get to know employees from other centers.
Now, are you also a venue for some of the events?
They do our bowling tournament.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So now, Brad, from your side, are you looking to franchise and expand beyond? You have four locations now?
There's four locations right now, and they're actually, the owners are building a location here in Sandy Springs. It's going to be this fall at the North River Shopping Plaza over on Highway 9, just south of the river. No hopes on franchising yet. They want to do their thing here in Atlanta, open a couple more centers around here, and it's not out of sight for them to do that, but they haven't looked into franchising yet.
How do you go about marketing for a facility like yours? It strikes me you got to hit a lot of the same folks that Matt Friedman was talking about with Wing Zone. I mean, you want to hit those young people or maybe
families.
Yeah, right. Definitely. We're a family.
How do you get the word out about what you're doing?
We do all kinds of stuff. We do things with the Gwinnett Braves and Gladiators. We're looking to get into Atlanta to start advertising with the professional sports teams, website, social media, databases, mailing lists, schools, sports teams, everything.
So tell us a little bit about your backstory. How did you get involved in this line of work?
I actually got involved fresh out of college. My uncle is one of the founding partners for Stars and Strikes. So that's
Stone's
what got
path
me
to success that as well.
That's how I made it.
Whatever's clever.
It's all about who you know.
That's right.
It's who you're related to, it seems.
Exactly. So stuff coming up. You got probably some special program kind of stuff going on during the summer while a lot of the young folks are out of school, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Last year we got on board with the Kids Bowl Free program, which we enjoyed very much, and it was so successful that we did it again this year. All you got to do is go onto our website, click on the link for Kids Bowl Free, choose the location that you're near. You get two free games of bowling every single day, Monday through Friday from 10 to 5, and you get two free games on Saturday mornings, 9 to 12. So all you got to do is pay for shoes. Any kids 15 and under, if you're an adult, the parent, and you want to do it as well, it's $24.99 for a family pack, and you can enroll in that program as well. So $24.99 for the parent or your children over 16 years old. And you get to enjoy the two free games every day as well. But it's free, totally free for the kids.
What a great camp. Sounds like a camp to me.
Yeah, it does to me too. A very inexpensive camp, I think. So web interaction, can you go in and sign up on the web, or do you call in? How do you to reserve a lane, or how does that piece work?
We actually have online booking for the if you want to just reserve a lane, you can go to our website. We just implemented that probably about 4 or 5 months ago, the online booking. We're going to do more of that. We just added our birthday parties to that as well. It used to only be by the lane. Now we do birthday parties. You can call in, call our number. We've got a call center that's central, located in our Lawrenceville store, and they do the booking for all of our centers.
All right, Larry, now your event's winding down. What do you got planned for us coming up?
Well, so like I said before, we have our last three, 5K, Executive Relay, and Tug of War. And we're also having a health fair. We've partnered with a company that's going to be bringing in vendors and folks to give all great information about health and fitness. So whether you're a participating company or just someone who just kind of wants to come and hang out with us and just have some fun and watch other folks have fun, we'll be at the DeKalb Southeast Athletic Complex in Lithonia this weekend. And we start up our 5Ks at 9, and I think we finish up at noon with the Tug of War.
Now, next year's corporate challenge, what do you got planned for us then?
Well, it'll basically be the same events. We'll always be in the month of May, and we typically start that first weekend in May. We are considering adding a couple more events next year. We'd like to push it to 25 tournaments. We'll probably still stay with the 5 weeks. We're starting to double some things up and do a couple tournaments a day now. And we'll open up registration early. We're going to start registration this year, September 1st, and we'll run it through March 1st of 2014.
Good stuff.
I'd also like to mention that Stars and Strikes are our current leader, and you know, bar some great catastrophe and they're just not showing up. Yeah, they're probably about 20 points up on everybody else, so it looks like they're going to be champion this
year.
All right.
So. Congratulations, man.
Well, thank you. We hope we can hold the lead.
All right. Well, thank you all for being part of this. And if somebody wants to learn more about Corporate Challenge, website there?
Our website is corporatechallengeatl.com.
And then you're looking for more companies next year, right?
We'd love to have more companies next year. For us, the more the merrier. And I'm sure these guys would like to compete against somebody new, and because they'll be most likely coming in as defending champs. So we got to bring somebody that's going to really challenge them next year.
All right. Well, thank you all for being part of the show. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next week on Atlanta Business Radio.